heard that my uncle just died. And that's okay, but it was
unexpected?
No, he's had Alzheimer's. But it's nice to be in a place where death is thought of differently.
Yes. It's a whole different way. Being here makes it a very easier for me to think of it as the Dhamma. Mm-hmm. He's had very severe Alzheimer's disease. Yes. So he hasn't been... He's been very different for many years, but it does make it easier to think of death when in the company of Dhamma friends and hearing about the Dhamma.
Actually, coincidentally, Alzheimer's is like the disease where people forget. They cannot remember their life. And often they cannot recognize, maybe a wife cannot recognize a husband, or a husband recognize a wife. Who can make jokes?
How many stories go in it?
We call it a disease, like an illness of aging. But is it any different from sanya not arising because there are not the conditions?
I think in terms of citta, there cannot be any moment which is not citta. Different types of citta arising in a day.
There is always citta. Mm-hmm. Like we think disease, but it is just citta. Mm-hmm.
Because there's always citta, there's always sanya. Mm-hmm.
It's only one of jittas.
Yes.
I'm sorry, jittas.
There are 89 types of jitta, so this is one of jitta. One kind. One kind.
And so someone who, like, our story is that they have the disease, but really there are just not the conditions for that jitta to arise any longer.
With our jitta and jetasika, no, what we call disease at all.
Yes.
No
disease. There is not.
But is it sanya that is
not arising?
No,
not arising.
Sanya arises with each moment of jitta.
Yes.
So we are just talking about conventional memory when we say they can't remember husband and wife and. Kunsi Chin, as we were coming the other night through the festival, the Durga festival, the Indian festival with many people in the street and lights and noise, and I suppose when we are in India, to me it seems as if there are many mental states that are unfamiliar to me, are not known.
Usalajita's not familiar.
Oh, very. what I was wondering, however, was whether it is necessary for Panya to know all the different combinations of mind states.
We call it combination of mind states, but actually now... do we understand that which experiences visible object right now? Which hears, which thinks, different moment, different types of jittas.
Is that enough?
To understand precisely, not just thinking that, oh, we understand now, but actually this very moment, no, mixing the hearing and the seeing together. Otherwise, it cannot be precise. One cannot say that one really get it, one really understand it.
When we think about Alzheimer's and other disease, we forget about jitta.
When we think about Alzheimer's disease, we forget about jitta.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We were having a chat one day, Maeve and I, about sickness, picking up on the topic of sickness and how sometimes when people are sick or very tired, they become grumpy or irritable or something like this. And I mentioned, actually, you would say it's no excuse, because it's actually the accumulation of dosa at such times. We think the problem is the sickness or not enough water or not enough sleep or feeling tired, but actually it's the accumulation of dosa. And she then asked me, well, is the illness or the sickness the proximate cause in that case? How would you respond?
Without rupa, can there be any sickness?
No. Mm-hmm. So actually they're just moments of experiencing rupa and thinking about it, and dosa about the hardness, the softness, the bodily unpleasant feeling.
Isn't sickness akusala vipaka?
It depends on you are talking about feeling or just the name of the disease or sickness. Because you see that all are dhammas, no exception at all. So while you are thinking about this and that, it's only thinking.
So if there's no bodily unpleasant feeling associated with the sickness, then not vipaka.
Definitely unpleasant feeling.
The bodily feeling itself is real.
Right.
And you think about the disease.
Mm-hmm. Or think about the lack of water or the difficulties or whatever else. Sorry? Or you think about the lack of water or the difficulties on the bus or the tiredness, but actually the vipaka is just moments of bodily experience, moments of seeing, moments of hardness.
The most difficult thing is that there is no panya which can see and understand reality as a reality. Like after thinking about this or feeling like that, then there is train of thoughts all the time which is unknown yet. Because they are all realities. So the most difficult thing is not knowing reality as it is, as Dhamma.
If when somebody is blind because they have no eye base, what about people? Can you have a not no eye base, but a bad eye base that doesn't work well? In other words, you can't see.
It doesn't matter at all. We're just talking about that very moment. Mm-hmm. Where the seeing sees, whatever it is, clear or not clear, visible object.
So now what about heart base?
Heart base is that which, the place where citta arises. Mm-hmm.
So
that's all.
No
matter where.
Just like you have to say,
there must
you
be
have no seeing base. See base.
For
no
seeing consciousness only.
Right. But for seeing consciousness, you must have eye base.
Right.
So what is it possible to not have heart base?
In the Aruba Brahma plane, no rupa at all.
But you can't have it as a in our plane of existence.
There must be arupa which citta arises there. Whenever the first moment of life, the patisanti citta, the rebirth consciousness, arises with the rupa conditioned by kamma. Three groups in the womb, and one group is the heart base, because citta needs rupa to arise in this realm.
So in the case of a eye base that is present but someone cannot see properly, is that the citta that is?
We talk about seeing, no matter if it see properly or not. Whenever citta which sees arise, it has arisen, and the visible object is seen, even its darkness, it can be seen. And we use the term, the object of seeing or visible object, because it's seen already.
So, Ajahn, talking about the Patisandhi cheetahs, the object that is experienced by the Patisandhi cheetah is the same object as the Bhavanga cheetahs and the Javana cheetahs. Mm.
The Bhavanga cheetahs and the Chuti cheetah, and not the Javana cheetahs.
Can you explain a bit about how those the object that is experienced by the Bhavanga cheetah, the Patisanda cheetah, and the...
Okay, now, dying consciousness hasn't arisen yet. Suppose it arises now. And Patisanthicitta follows instantly. And the Patisanthicitta has the same object as cittas before death, before dying consciousness. Because dying consciousness is vipaka. There must be kusala or akusala arising before dying consciousness. And the Patisanthicitta, like this moment, mind or process, receive or experience the same object as the sense object. So the Patisanthicitta experience the same object which arises before, which citta experienced before death. Instead of Manodavara, it is Patisanthicitta. So how can Patisanthicitta has other object besides that which citta before death has experienced? So the Patisanthicitta has the object the same as citta, which has arisen before dying consciousness. Before dying consciousness, the Patisanthicitta is the first citta of this life or any life. And after it has fallen away, Pavanga citta has the same object as Patisanthicitta, because it's conditioned by the same karma. Okay. And no matter at any time Pavanga arises in that life, it has the same object.
That's what I find a little difficult to understand. It has the same, even though the life is seems a long life, you know, in terms of it still experiences the same object that was experienced, the Patisanda Chitta experienced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's the result of the same karma.
Okay.
Yeah. Even death consciousness, the dying consciousness, must have the same arambha as Patisanthicitta and Pavanga. A dog was born, a dog died. A cat was born, a cat died.
Born a cat, die a cat.
Yeah. Patisanthi, Pavanga, Chitti must be
same object.
And even though they're given different names, they're exactly the same kind of citta. The Patisandhi, the Bhavangas, and the Chuti, exactly the same kind of citta, the same and object.
Did you say the object of the Patisandhi citta is the same object as the citta immediately before the previous death?
Yeah. Before Chuti. Like now, after citta experience an object through one doorway, Manodavara follows and have the same object. So Patisanthicitta has fallen away and Pavanga has the same object. Or Patisanthicitta has the same object as citta before death. Instead of Manodavara, it is Patisanthicitta. If there is no death, then Manodavara Vachanacitta experience the same object as the preceding process. But when it's the birth and death, after the dying consciousness has fallen away, instead of Manodvara Vachana, as usual, it's Patisanthicitta, which has that object before death.
So, Jyoti Jita is the last Jita. Hers is the Jita just before death.
Before death. Yes. So it has the same object as the preceding Bhavanga cheetahs and Patisandhi cheetah. It's Vipaka cheetah, so it still has the same object as the Bhavanga cheetahs and the Patisandhi cheetahs of that life, Patisandhi cheetah of that life.
And then the
conditioned by the karma. That
And then the object of the Patisandhi cheetah of the next life is the same
as the Javana.
As the object of the Javana cheetahs before the Chuti cheetah.
Now, sound is the object, right? suppose before death, and then after dying consciousness has fallen away, Patisanthicitta has sound as a subject. Usually it is Manodvara which experience sound, but when there is death, dying consciousness, then Patisanthicitta has that object instead of Manodvara, mind or process. Now, right. Sense door and mind door, sense door and mind door, no dying consciousness
right.
at all. Right. But when sense door or mind door and then dying consciousness, after that, Patisanthicitta has the same object right. as citta before death.
Citta before the jutichi.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And the jutichi following the Patisanthicitta has the same object as well. After the Patisanthicitta, the Vandicitta has the same object as well.
As Patisanthicitta, because conditioned by the same karma. Mm-hmm.
And it's possible for any Chetasika to arise at that time, or is there a...
No selection, no choice, by conditions.
Yeah.
For this 7 Chetasikas, or for that 10, or for the other 11, or yeah, depending on conditions.
Chetasikas arise with every... Jitta, depending on the type of jitta and whether it's wholesome or unwholesome. But awareness can only be aware of either the seeing consciousness or one of the chetasikas, but not two at once.
One object at a time.
One object at a time. And the chetasika can be an object.
Anything.
Any dhamma.
Any dhamma.
Back to the sick room for a moment. As it happens, I have a quote here, and I would be interested in any comments. So from the Visuddhimagga, we have the simile, the materiality aggregate, the Rupa Khanda, as object of clinging is like the sick room because it's the dwelling place, as physical basis, door and object of the sick man, which is namely the consciousness aggregate, vijnana khanda, as object of clinging. The feeling aggregate, vedana khanda, as object of clinging, is like the sickness because it afflicts. The perception aggregate, sanya khanda, as object of clinging, is like the provocation of the sickness because it gives rise to feeling associated with greed, etc., owing to perception of sense desires and so on. The formations aggregate, sankhara khanda's object of clinging, is like having recourse to what is unsuitable because it's the source of feeling, which is the sickness. So it said, feeling is the form that they form, and likewise, because of unprofitable karma having been performed and stored up, resultant body consciousness has arisen accompanied by pain. The consciousness aggregate as object of clinging is like the sick man because it's never free from feeling, which is the sickness. Do you have any further comments?
Usually I think that it's easier to be aware of reality rather than thinking about the simile. Like one is fast asleep under the mango tree.
Yeah. Right.
It's like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
This morning, when I was between sleeping, and I was listening to the tapes, you know, on my iPod, and I think it was in the discussions in Nalanda where it came up with it was called the 10 bases of Gusala, and I wanted to know could you explain what those are?
The punya kiriyavatu.
Huh?
The punya kiriyavata, the 10 meritorious.
Yeah,
deeds,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dana, sila,
bhavana.
Dana, sila, bhavana. Dana, sila.
Sila, okay. Bhavana.
Bhavana.
Uh-huh. But then how do you get 10?
10. Oh, what?
from 10.
3 to 10.
You want a list of 10.
Well, that's what it said, 10, so I wondered where the other 7 things were. You know, what
well,
what
under bhavana, there are several listened, like listening.
It's just a way of classifying.
Yeah. It's just a way of classifying. Oh, okay, so under bhavana you have 2 or 3 things,
yeah,
and then
yes.
under Under Sila, you have, of course, five.
No.
And then you have, and then under Dana, I don't
more
know.
More than 10, then. That's more than 10.
Yeah, I guess.
You can still pay.
Yeah. All right.
You'll pay in that dictionary you've got.
Yeah. Well, I looked in there.
Look under Punya Kiriawatu. Punya, P-U-N-N-A.
How do you spell it?
Punya.
P-U-N-N-A.
Punya.
Kiria.
Watu. Kiria. Watu base, the basis, Guatu of meritorious deeds.
So Gama can condition many different kinds of citta. Gama.
Vipaka.
Vipaka. Mm-hmm. So Vipaka, yes, different Gama.
And it also conditions rupas. So, for example, at that moment of rebirth, the patisandhicitta is a vipaka conditioned by karma, but, for example, the heart base is rupa conditioned by karma too.
And it arises at the same time as the patisandhicitta.
In this case, yes. In every other instance, rupa arises before the cittas, like visible object, it always arises before seeing consciousness, but at the moment of rebirth, the heart base arises at the same time as bodhisattva.
In terms of Gama and Vipaka, can we only know about those by thinking about those? Because they are not absolute realities, are they?
What is not absolute reality?
Well, how is Gama absolute reality?
Jetana, intention, is Gama.
That jetasika,
which has the function of intention, being intention, intend to do, to speak, yeah.
Okay, but the like the classification of them as Gama, we can only know as a concept, is it?
Now can... Seeing is known as concept or a reality, seeing.
But can it be known as Gama?
Gama is intention. Do you have intention to do anything?
That's what I mean, that the intention can be known, but...
Intention is not you, it's that jetana jetasika, which is Gama.
Yes. I suppose I'm making the distinction between this... precise mental factor and the term that we use of Gama. That
what about patsa, contact? Patsa jitasika? It arises...
And that's Gama?
No. We don't have to call it Gama. That which arises with each moment, can that be known?
Yes.
Patsa? The context. Patsa.
Is it a jetasika?
Jetasika, yes. Yeah. Yes. Seven jetasikas. Yes. One of the seven.
Universal jetasika with every citta.
Can it be known?
Yes.
Now?
If under the right conditions?
Yes. Anyone who can know can know.
Yes.
I know. Try and know.
At moment of feeling, even right now, can anyone tell whether it's what kind of feeling? Indifferent feeling or what? Feeling arises and one takes feeling for I feel like that.
Yes.
Okay. But for contact, jetasika, patsa jetasika, can it be known? Like feeling?
No.
I'm just curious about, you know, why I don't understand that, actually.
Because you see that for Sariputta and those who could know, they could, because they are not just ordinary Savaka.
Yes.
They are great disciples. So Sariputta knew much more than the other Savaka. But for the other, should it be questioned whether this can be known or that can be known? It depends on conditions, who can and who cannot. No selection, just want to experience heart base or whatever it is.
Not no for sorry people.
That's right. Right. That's right.
No, it's for me, no.
That's all right. That's all right.
We are studying the teachings of Buddha, so we know how much he knew about everything, all titles. And so we know whether we can know as him or impossible. But no one knows who will know what by conditions. Because realities which would be known haven't arisen yet. So how can we expect or know beforehand what will be object of our understanding when Panya develops? Because it has to be the new one all the time, never be the old one.
Well, knowledge of karma, kamasakata samaditi, can one say it is or it's not the just the Buddha's teaching because there was knowledge about karma before the Buddha taught about it, but of course he only taught about anatta. The reason I'm asking is I have a quote here from Lady Sayadaw about five kinds of light. One is knowledge and seeing that all beings have karma only as their own property, kamasakata jnana. Second, knowledge and being firmly settled about the Dharma, Dharma vavatana jnana. Three, knowledge and comprehending the law of causality, pachava vavatana jnana. Four, knowledge and realizing the three characteristics of existence, lakana pativeda jnana. And five, knowledge and realizing nibbana, nibbana pativeda jnana. And he says of that, of the five kinds of light, the first one, kamasakata samaditi, is not actually the light of the Buddha's teaching. It's merely the light available in samsara, or the light available in the world, a worldly light. Do you have any comment?
What do you mean? What do you think about that?
Well, I think that what he means is that it is the other four are knowledges that are only available through Buddha's teaching, but the knowledge about kamasakata samaditi, knowledge about karma, is a knowledge that was available before the Buddha and not available through other teachers. But my own personal opinion is that I don't think it's correct, because the kamasakata samaditi that the Buddha taught, it can only be known through the development of the vipassana jnanas, can only be understood through the understanding of anatta. So it's not the same teaching about karma as taught by other teachers.
When one heard the term karma, do we have any idea or right understanding about that? And when we talk about the result of it, how much the understanding is. For example, anyone can use the term karma and vipaka, the cause and the effect or the result. But what is the cause and what is the result? Is there more explanation, or just think that since there must be karma, the cause, there must be the result? That's all they know. But Buddha pointed out so clear about each moment of citta. So at this moment of seeing, when there is understanding with awareness, can it do anything? Can it has intention to do good or ill deed? See? So at moment of right understanding of seeing a visible object, nothing else at all, just seeing only. And after that, there is idea and thinking a lot about that or to do what. So one, with understanding and awareness, one can see the difference between the two types of realities. So one knows that this is not that. and there is no intention to have vipaka arise at all. And even there's no intention for anything to arise, but the difference between vipaka and the kusala and akusala citta appear as they are, that this moment is not that moment which sees or which hears. So when there is the understanding of realities, it's not that one thing about it or contemplate on it as, oh, this is vipaka, or this is kusala and akusala citta. It's not like that at all. Even the ayatana or tatu, at that moment when there is right understanding which understands directly, no word at all. Otherwise, it's thinking, not the experiencing directly of that characteristic. That's why even the conditions like aramana condition, at this moment of seeing, with right understanding, with an awareness, no self who's there, just that and the object. By knowing this, it's the understanding of aramana paccaya, because without aramana, that citta cannot experience anything at all. But no need to say any word. No need to say any word, because at that moment is right understanding of reality which appears. So when there is the understanding of conditions by reading or thinking over it, it's not like moment when there is the understanding of a reality, so that one knows the difference, like that which sees and that which hears. Different aramana. So aramana is conditioned for each one properly. And then one knows better about vipaka, which is different from kusala and akusala, little by little.
And because it's referring just to realities, is quite different from what is taught by other mm-hmm. teachers about karma,
which is very much a story.
Yes, like, oh, I was sick this morning. Yes. My bad, yes. Karma. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Kuntichin, going back to the description of citta occurring in darkness.
What do you mean?
That there is nothing. We talked about the process, the 17 moments.
Yes. Day. I just talk about the characteristic of citta, whether it's dark or not dark.
Yes. I'm sorry, to say in darkness is not.
Okay,
is
all
not,
right. Yeah, because it's dark anyway.
Without light, without light, without sound, without
rupa,
without
any type of rupa appearing at all. So no world that we used to see or hear.
And no time. No time.
That is thinking again about time.
So that is why when we talk about this, we are actually talking very much at a level of concept, mm-hmm. because what we are talking right. about is right. long gone.
Uh-huh.
So in a sense, when we talk about it, we're talking about something as if it were frozen, and we can look at it and think about it, but in fact, in reality, not like that at all. Not there is no... What we talk about and what is experienced is entirely different.
For example, we talk about that which experiences an object. In the time of Buddha, there is no book at all. He just talked about reality right then. So when there is seeing, he asked the listeners about seeing and visible object, which appeared at that very moment, like now. In order to understand what we call citta, If we don't call that citta or any term in English or in Thai or any language at all, we're just talking about the reality, the element which is now seeing or which can see anything. There must be that element. But let's study further. So what kind or what characteristic should it be? Because it doesn't have light or smell or taste at all. But it arises mental reality, mental element. So we come to think about what mental element is. No rupa can be mixed at that very moment. No light. So it must be very dark, if we would say. But actually, there is no color, no light. Yeah. That's the meaning of it.
It means that seeing is
that
not
which
arising.
Is,
that, it means that seeing consciousness
that,
is not arising.
That reality which can experience an object.
But when you say darkness,
mm-hmm. no light.
That's right. So mm-hmm. unless there is seeing consciousness at that moment.
I talk about light. All types of citta. That reality which can experience an object, to distinguish between that which appear like sound or smell or visible object. No rupa mixed mm-hmm. in citta.
Mm-hmm.
Even the least, the
okay,
very...
Uh-huh. No rupa mixed.
That's why we would come to understand the seeing right now as it is.
Right.
Otherwise, we just always simply think that it says or it's now saying or something like that. But let's consider that which is now experiencing an object, that which can experience anything, that which can think, that which can feel, but it's not the citta which feel, but there must be other mental factor with it. Citta cannot arise alone, but all namas, thinking about no rupa mixed in them at all, at any time.
That actually makes it clearer why it can only be sati that can know this, because
with understanding,
when you say that there is no rupa, how else mm-hmm. could it be known without sati?
Yes, but there must be right understanding with sati. So we come to understand the difference between sati and samadhi. Usually people who do not study and want to practice, they know about samadhi, but they call it sati because they know that it needs sati. It is sati which is aware. The samadhi cannot be aware at all. But since awareness does not arise, so they take concentration for sati. They call it sati. They think that they are developing satipatthana. But without the intellectual understanding, better and better, deeper and deeper, there is no conditions for sati to arise at all. It's not as simply as seeing is nama and visible object is rupa. That is just work without the deep understanding of that which now experiences an object.
Just seeing that for when you say there is no rupa in the nama, mm-hmm. you could also say there is no visible object
not
in seeing.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
if you look at the mm-hmm. seeing consciousness, yeah. there's mm-hmm. no visible object
in
the
it.
Seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, at beginning, they're just beginning to mm-hmm. recognize that perhaps I have. In my intellectualizing of what we're hearing, I've had color, light in the seeing in the experience of color and mixing them. And so that's what you're saying by arising in the darkness. There is no rupa in the nama, in the seeing. There is no sound in the hearing. There is no.
Panya can distinguish the visible object and seeing.
But thinking can't. Thinking,
just imagine.
We can think about
think
it. We can just imagine.
Just imagine.
And that, when you say that, it seems that
there is a lot of imagining about this kind of, when we talk, a lot of imagining.
Right, so it's not panya and sati, which really directly experience it. It has to be just thinking.
Yes. Right. But the one cannot arise without the other, though. Seeing cannot arise without rupa.
Mm-hmm. Because rupa is aramana paccaya. Without the aramana, rupa cannot arise at all, because citta is that which experiences aramana, the object which is experienced.
Aramana is object.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Object of citta.
But rupa arises without seeing.
But citta also experiences object other than rupa. Citta also experiences object
when it's not seeing.
Other than rupa.
Yeah, not through the eye door.
But it also experience. Can experience nama.
Pardon?
Yeah, citta can also experience nama as object.
Citta with sati and panya.
Or concept.
Anything.
Yeah.
Citta knows or experience anything. As now there is the idea and concept, how can it be or show up? Or now it is because there is citta which thinks.
But the simile in the suttas about rupa and nama supporting each other like the two sheaves.
In this plane, five-pandas plane.
Is that a reference to seeing invisible object, or is that a reference to the base from which citta arises?
At this moment of seeing, it's only idea about base. It's not the understanding of seeing, because it's thinking instantly about other things.
Right.
Keep on going like this, running after shadow.
But I think it is referring to how even from the first moment of Patisandhicitta, it has to have in this realm, it has to have a base, and for all the subsequent cittas, there must be rupa as base. So I think we can say this. Rupa. So nama cannot arise without rupa as base.
It just shows where is the birthplace of citta,
right?
Where it arises.
In the heart base. Right?
What we call that heart base, any rupa which where citta arises.
Okay. Now, Sarah, just any rupa where citta arises is the base.
The first moment of life, there is no heart, but there is rupa which citta arises there.
Right.
So, whatever rupa which citta, from which citta arises is heart based.
Okay, whatever rupa.
And can it be seen? Heart based? What is seen is only visible object.
So whatever rupa from which jita arises is
heart base. Because jita cannot arise in the air.
And the moment of satipatthana, where the object is nama, is that moment enough to know the difference between thinking and that experience?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why the development of sati, because sati is that which is aware, that there is a dhamma right now.
That seems to be a very important distinction.
Sarah mentioned something earlier about rupa can arise without citta.
Mm-hmm. By utu, temperature, the three, the frown, everything which does belong to the being, any being. The water, the sea, the mountain, rupa, no citta condition that at all.
Okay. But
And even in the case of when we talk about seeing, experiencing visible object is a condition for seeing to arise, but visible object has to arise first, conditioned by other conditions. That was also what I was referring to. So visible object is the condition for an essential condition for seeing to arise.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't say seeing is a condition for visible object to arise,
right,
because visible object actually arises. The rupa arises first.
I understand that. But when we're talking about mountains and the sea and the temperature, those rupas are constantly arising and falling away?
Mm-hmm. All kinds of rupa never stay. Never last. 17 moments only.
But if we're not, if they're not being experienced, do they exist at all? Something
else. How do we know?
I guess we both came off the same plane.
We come back to the same question. Do you have teeth? Do you have heart? Do you have lung? Do you?
Is something there
in memory?
Yes.
If one of it does not appear, can you really, can you say that it's there, it's still there
if it doesn't appear?
Mm-hmm.
No, but that I just, when I talked about the mountains and the sea,
if there is, there are still rupas arising and falling away regardless of whether they're ever experienced. Like the rupas that make up Mount Everest, they're not being experienced now, but there are still the rupas that make it up. Otherwise, there would never be any concept or idea of Mount Everest.
What about the liver, the heart, the blood?
Mm-hmm.
Are they now?
The rupas in the back of the body.
I guess they're arising and falling away.
Yes, yes.
They're not being experienced, though, are
they're
they?
They're not being experienced.
Like mountain and sea.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the same.
So they're arising and falling away.
The one which has arisen and fallen away with our citta experiences it. It has arisen and fallen away rapidly, all the time. That's why there is no self, there is no one at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we think that is there all the time just arises and falls away in split second. No one is left at all. That only which is experienced is real. And Panya can experience the arising and falling away of it because it's there. But awareness and Panya cannot understand that which hasn't been the object right then because it does not appear.
Right, but it sounds from what you're saying is that there are arising and falling away.
There are conditions
in any
for the arising of any rupa that it has to arise beyond control. But when it is not experienced directly, it has arisen and fallen away in split seconds.
Right.
It does not belong to anyone at all. All of these rupas arise and fall away by conditions.
Mm-hmm.
That which hasn't been experienced has arisen and fallen away. So where's you and where's my body in the absolute sense? This is the only way to eradicate, to eliminate the idea of self from any one of particle of rupa and any moment of citta, because they all arise and fall away in split seconds. So what we take for I and my lung and my even my arm, my legs are only thinking. After seeing, so there is no attention to visible object as visible object yet, because it's always be taken for something all the time, and that's not the way to experience the arising and falling away. Because there's not enough understanding with right awareness at the moment it appears right now.
Mm-hmm.
So Panya grow when there's considering about the nature of visible object, just visible object, in order to have less attention to story and concept about it.
I think I must have been through this in my thinking many years ago, but so there's no sense dwelling on rupa that arise and fall away because of conditions, rupa that jita is not experiencing. What
Right, because it's only thinking about it.
It's only thinking about it,
like
right.
Like the moves of the bed that make up what we call the bed.
If there's no experiencing of hardness, it's just thinking about the rupas making up the bed. Mm-hmm. But it's not the same as the hardness which appears at this moment, mm-hmm. or the visible object which appears at the moment.
Or even the hardness that I think I can feel right. Well, yeah, I'm feeling something here. But I'm not, it's not, clearly there's, it's, me, not at the level of awareness of hardness as hardness and experiencing of hardness as experiencing of hardness. But Mount Everest, it's up there somewhere, right? In our thinking.
And the bed, that bed is somewhere.
Yes.
Like Mount Everest.
Yes.
What's the difference?
There isn't any.
Just thinking.
Yes.
Just thinking about different
and things. Remembering the shape and form and the name.
The difference is the proximity, mm-hmm. which makes it seem a difference. And it's like the which I was thinking about the other day, that it's easy enough to think of the moments, you know, from 5 years ago of having passed completely, or even yesterday. But when we think of the just a moment ago as having fallen away completely, there isn't, you know, it's not so easy even to conceptualize that, I think, because it seems that things are continuous.
With or without understanding?
Well, this is without understanding.
Yes. Uncountable moments passed without understanding.
Is thinking about self, like thinking about people and things, that how can that be known? Is it only known by seeing the anattaness of reality? You cannot come and be, or cannot be approached the other way by, like we have just said, we take mountain for real, or bed for real, or person for real. That does not really help to understand that it is anatta, that is the characteristic of all. Reality.
We come to hear the term anatta without understanding a reality which is anatta.
Right, right.
But in order to really appreciate the term anatta, it's not just by thinking about anatta, but at this moment of seeing and visible object, these are so very anatta, because whenever they see, it has a reason already. Who conditioned that? This is the anattaness of...
That is the only way.
The only way.
Yes.
We often say, and you often say, that the only real hindrance to the developing of right understanding is wrong view and ignorance, mm-hmm. or ignorance and wrong view. And yet we read so many suttas like this one, where the Buddha talks about the five hindrances which weaken insight, sensual desire, dosa, sloth and torpor, excitement, restlessness and doubt, and so on. Why so many references to these hindrances if the only real hindrance is...
Hindrances of kusala.
Hindrance of kusala, I see. But it says which weaken insight, so... Can one say
all akusala
weakens insight?
Yeah.
I see.
they arise more.
Okay. When there is a kusala, there is no insight. Mm-hmm. But the only... So what is the difference between when we say the only real hindrances are wrong view and ignorance, and here hindrances that weaken insight because...
Usually there are five hindrances, but there are also six hindrances. And the last one is avicca, ignorance. Yes. So usually when it talks about the five, it means the development of tranquility, samatha.
I see. But here it particularly refers to insight rather than tranquility.
But usually when we talk about the five hindrances and vitakka is the opposite of this, and the vijara is opposite of that hindrance.
Yes, then it's talking about samatha, I agree.
Chitta rises and falls away so fast. Where John said before, we remember something from 5 years ago. And so memory and karma, where are they carried? Are they, because if chittas are rising and falling...
They just arise and fall away.
Where are they when they're not arising?
Completely gone. Where are they?
Yeah.
They are assimilated as conditions to condition the other moment, the next moment.
But if John doesn't think of something for 5 years...
But he has memory.
And where is memory?
Each citta has, which has experienced an object, after it has fallen away, the experience and all the dharma carried on from this moment to other moment, accumulated.
Okay, so I just have this little vision of a bee flying along, and then as time goes on and it gathers all the pollen, it's just getting heavier and heavier. Does chitta get heavier and heavier? Sorry. I'm
feeling feels heavy. But the chitta is that faculty with which experience an object. It just that, the faculty of experiencing, it doesn't have to do anything, it doesn't have to feel anything. All these are cetasikas which arise with each chitta.
But there's no little hard drive somewhere with all the things that have happened before on, so that you...
Chitta or cetasika or chitta with cetasika. Okay. Not just the rupa can move. Without chitta.
We're trying to make something out of chitta.
I know.
We're trying to make, like, it's a little...
thing, or it's a library.
No, we want to make something out of chitta.
So it's filing cabinet.
Cetasika that accumulates. The accumulations in the
jetas. Yeah. One might accumulate lots of lopa, the other might accumulate lots of dosa. And the other lot of understanding, see?
But I think we can refer to the cheetahs and chetasikas accumulating, not just chetasikas. Mm-hmm. Just back to the sutta minute about the hindrances. And so, because here it's definitely talking about the development of vipassana, because then it goes on to say, here when the Aryan disciple makes Dharma its object, gives attention to it, listens to the Dharma, at such time the five hindrances don't arise and the seven bojangas are fully cultivated. So it's just referring to how at moments of...
But one has to read carefully, can the hindrance be object of right understanding?
Yes, of course, yes. But it's just saying at the moments of panya, then the hindrances don't arise. But, of course, they have to be known.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be understood when they appear. Otherwise, the bojangas couldn't develop.
Until they cannot hinder.
Until they cannot hinder, yes. So at this point, they're not hindering at the moment of...
understanding.
Of understanding.
Earlier we were talking about there being no rupa in the nama, and I thought you might bring in the point made that we were discussing a little about there being no meaning in sound or something like that.
Just earlier?
No, we were discussing it the other day. Mrs. Moore?
Oh.
A similar kind of situation.
Yes.
Likewise, when sound is experienced, there's no meaning in the sound at the moment of experience. The meaning is
sound. Sound is sound.
Yeah.
Okay, the sound has the meaning.
Right. And so that's the thinking process that follows the experience of sound.
Yeah. Sandhya remembers the tone, low and high, and get the meaning from memory. Even the sound of thunder, see?
This discussion arose around something that a story that I had read about a person who had an experience actually in India where they went into a cave and no matter what word was said in the cave, you know, bad words or good words, only sound, like sound without meaning, not an echo, came back. And this person was very disturbed because she had always thought that sound was accompanied, it was either good sound or bad sound. And I was speculating about whether it was possible, I mean it's hard to know what that experience was, but whether it was possible for that direct experience to arise when there was no apparent study or knowledge of Dharma or because we tend to make a connection between studying the Dharma and thinking about realities. And but is it possible that given from lifetime to lifetime the understanding is accumulated, that maybe a random experience like that can arise?
Because you see that how come the thinking right now, see, there must be conditions for such thinking.
So it could be possible.
But the understanding that thinking is not I is different from assuming that I experienced such and such experience.
Could there be a moment of attending to sound as sound and then aversion to that?
Why no. Not? As long as there are conditions for aversion,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so then someone could be very frightened after that experience if there was not other understanding. Okay.
What is it you think that how I know the movie you're talking about.
The story of the book, Passage to India.
Yes.
When Mrs. Moore went into the cave,
yes.
And there, after that, it was like her whole world changed,
yes.
And because she didn't know what had happened.
The sound that she'd heard, or
so
she didn't
the word that. Understanding because she didn't know.
Yes, because she didn't know. You see, she didn't. She started thinking about this experience and thinking that it was. It shattered everything that she had previously believed in. Her world.
Understanding her world. Or not understanding?
Not understanding. Not understanding.
It's still there, ignorance.
But you're suggesting that maybe at the moment when she first had the experience that there was understanding and then followed by lots of misgiving and dosa, but
that's what I'm trying to get. This is an assumption. It has to be an assumption, doesn't it? That there was one moment where sound, simply as sound, was experienced.
Yes, even right now. Mm.
But it's like sound is only ever experienced as sound for
any of us.
Yes, mm-hmm. But we immediately attach a story to that. You know, it's your voice or mm-hmm. Jin's words.
How can there be the understanding that there is no attachment at all at that very moment after hearing?
Only through the development of mm-hmm.
But who knows about right understanding about realities? It's only the feeling that it might be like feel good, that's all. But actually it's not the understanding.
It's not the insight.
And I passed you this sheet because this was the question I was mentioning the other day
yes.
that you wrote to Nina about afterwards, which she shared, so I don't know if you wanted to
raise it again. Well, I can read it again and hear what
just
says.
A question.
This is what I wrote to Nina in January, I guess. Nina had written something, and I wrote back. I was struck by... So this is her last paragraph about characteristics and knowing lopa as different from dosa. I started thinking how sometimes it seems easy to see that dosa or lopa have arisen, often by the intensity of feeling that accompanies them. But this is not, I don't think, the same as the direct experience of lopa or dosa or pleasant and unpleasant feeling. So I find myself wondering what the direct experience would be like, which is not helpful, I know, but that thought arises. Can you comment on this?
No direct awareness. Can it be precise and understanding?
It can't be precise and understanding. I'm just trying to think what I was thinking at the time. Well, I guess yeah. Quite often, one can tell that, you know, attachment has arisen because you almost feel it.
But there must be a characteristic of attachment appearing.
Yes, there must.
Mm-hmm. And there's thinking a lot about it.
Yes.
Yeah. Not being aware of that
yes.
reality as just Dhamma or a reality. Even there is the analyzing or...
Yeah, the intellectual kind. Knowledge that that's
mm-hmm.
what it is, yes. No, so and I know it's not the same experience as direct experience.
It's also my... attachment.
Yes.
See?
Yes. Exactly.
So
and then there's the wondering about what direct experience might be like.
With understanding.
With understanding. But I mean about.
Okay.
Because one wonder. I guess one can wonder with right with understanding, and one can wonder without
we,
understanding.
We talk about hardness, right? But at moment of experiencing hardness, that is direct.
Mm-hmm.
But no awareness, or. Awareness of hardness arising. So usually in the day, the body consciousness arises and it experiences hardness or softness as usual. No awareness, no understanding of hardness as just a reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because when there is the beginning of attending to that characteristic as a reality, it's the beginning of understanding that there is no one there in hardness, no table, no chair, just hardness. Is there your body from head to toe which experience hardness or just there? No finger, just the experience. We don't have to think about the conditions for experiencing hardness as the body base at all, because at that moment only hardness appear to awareness already by awareness itself
mm-hmm.
to know and begin to know that it's a reality. And if there is more and more understanding about each reality through eyes, ears, nose, tongue and body, where's the world and where's you and where's someone? Because they are all different characteristics of realities. From moment to moment, there cannot be seeing and hearing and
experiencing body consciousness together at the same moment at all. But even they appear like that, there is a moment of being aware already, which is different from other moment without awareness at all. And so Panya knows that it is direct awareness of a reality. It's not just direct experience without awareness. So natural.
So you wouldn't have direct experience of a reality without awareness.
Body consciousness experience hardness.
Yes.
Not just talking about hardness.
Yes.
But no understanding,
yes,
no awareness.
Okay. Okay.
Or after experiencing the hardness, the awareness is aware, arise and is aware with right understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Hardness cannot appear without the body consciousness.
So there is direct experience of hardness day to day, often in our lives, but there's no awareness or understanding
right.
of hardness as
right.
hardness or
mm-hmm.
experiencing
mm-hmm.
hardness
mm-hmm.
as just experience of the nama and the rupa.
Mm-hmm.
But the direct experience happens all the time. Same with the lopa.
Same with the seeing, same with the hearing,
yeah.
and laying below.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
then
yes,
we take it for self.
Well, I mean, conventionally, I know that, but go ahead.
I was going to say, just listening to the conversation, sometimes we use the term directly experienced to refer to sati or panya.
Yes, we do.
So when then you pick up, oh, so they're...
No, and I'm distinguishing the two.
Right. Mm. So there's one kind of direct experience which just goes on all the time.
Which is Jesus' heart.
Well,
yeah.
Nama experiences rupa.
Right.
That's directly.
Yes,
know.
But there's no direct.
But there's no. But then we talk about direct experience in the sense of sati or panya.
Yes, yes.
Understanding.
Understanding.
Yes.
So this is why.
That's why confusion
can arise.
Your
distinction.
In the,
yeah.
yeah.
And this is why Kumsa Jin always says it has to be natural, because it's just like now, just like
mm-hmm.
it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that seeing experiences in any different way or bodily experiences of harmness is any different
mm-hmm.
from how it normally is. So it's just a matter of understanding what is, what appears anyway, rather than anything different
mm-hmm.
or unusual
mm-hmm.
or any special experience.
Mm-hmm. But I think when we talk about it and we think about it and we're first beginning to understand, May was saying yesterday, you know, it's like we try to freeze the moment.
So that's right. wrong.
And
that's
put it
wrong.
Under a microscope.
Yes,
yeah.
And
put
it under a microscope.
Yeah.
And intellectualize it
yes.
and analyze it, and yet the moments
it's
are arising and falling away
mm.
in rapid succession as we speak with no awareness of them arising and falling
and
away.
Like even this example
whenever
in the cave, I mean, whenever it seems like it's some special experience or something unusual, it's different from the development of understanding, because what is known by understanding is just what is normal and ordinary, nothing
mm-hmm.
special at all, nothing different from how life has always gone on. There's
mm-hmm.
always been seeing, there's always been hearing, there's always been thinking about what's seen
mm-hmm.
and heard, so just the same.
And does she know her own attachment to that?
Oh, I'm sure not. I'm sure not.
There must be attachment because it's special.
That's right. That's
yes.
That was my comment. It's,
yes.
you know, we attach importance to anything like a special experience. And
well, which makes me think that whatever it was could not have been awareness with understanding, because if there is awareness with understanding, you've always said Banya knows.
Little by little.
Little by little.
Yeah. Very natural.
So one will not be frightened by it.
And also...
Akusala.
And what seemed like something special, it's gone. It's not of any value or... Even if there was sati a moment ago, it's completely gone, not of any value or importance at all, because
mm-hmm.
now another moment,
right.
another reality.
Would one... This may come in the silly question category, but would one... A being who had, you know, where there were accumulations of banya through previous lives and awareness, for instance, as a child who had not in this life heard the Dhamma, would there be awareness, clear direct awareness of seeing or seeing consciousness?
Or
Or does one need to have heard the Dhamma in this life?
Not at all. Only this life.
Oh no! In my story, the person had accumulated it in previous lives, but had not heard the Dhamma.
Long enough.
Pardon?
Okay. Long enough. Good enough. Or
I'm wondering.
Yeah. It depends.
It depends. So a person in this life could have awareness of Nama and Rupa without having heard the Dhamma in this life.
What about Sariputta's story before he became enlightened, before he became a Sotapanna?
What was that, Ajahn?
Remind me.
Pardon?
What was his story before he became?
Just like ordinary life, he went with Mokkalana, Upatissa, and Kolita. They went to see the entertainment. But there then were some idea about life, the impermanency, but not the direct awareness of a reality at all. But it's there already.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So ingredients already in already in it, but it's still
needed.
And the
way of thinking is influenced.
But it's still needed the final bit of
the
added spice or the cooking. You still had to hear the words.
But that's why I understood you to say in answer to Maeve's question that a person could have some thinking about, you know, no meaning in sound by reason of...
Just by thinking.
Just by thinking. Just by thinking without banya. Because
hints,
of previous accumulation.
Yeah, about the truth of life.
Right.
Just following from Sariputta, accumulations have a bearing on the way Dhamma is understood. For example,
who are you talking about?
Well, generally, like it was.
That's
a shocking. This is more.
I'm wondering, is this?
A particular pattern of thinking or preferences. You know, some people. Maybe like to make many notes, or some people like to listen, or some people, lots of different approaches. So these are in life, just in life generally. And then coming to the Dhamma, those approaches are going to be used to understand Dhamma.
Like now?
Like now.
Yes, why not?
Accumulations.
Yes.
I am so stupid about computer and things like that. See? No accumulation for that. I don't like numbers. I don't like calculation. I don't like mathematics. I don't like science at all. Because I have no accumulation.
But just being here, hearing the Dhamma and discussing it, there must be some accumulations for the interest.
The same to the talent on such and such objects.
We notice people in the group here. Some wander around Ajahn and appear to be paying no attention whatsoever to paying respect at the holy place or whatever. But one knows that these are people with sometimes good understanding. So it's just different accumulations, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And you've said something before which I found helpful, is that one can see that when understanding develops or when people have a keen interest in Dhamma, Chanda, which we discussed the other day as translated as zeal or keenness, wholesome Chanda, it can manifest in different ways. So it can be Chanda manifesting as writing or speaking or paying respect because of different accumulations, depending on interest, yes.